Real Moms of Bravo. Real Moms of Bravo. Real Moms of Bravo.
Real Moms of Bravo. Hello, happy day whenever you're listening to this. And it is always a happy day when we're discussing Summer House. Another fun episode, another fun party. Your thoughts about Craig?
I mean, I love Craig on Summer House. I think he and Paige like to keep their appearances on one another's shows to like a minimum. I felt like, you know, Paige FaceTimed a lot on Southern Charm, but I think she only came to Charleston like once or twice. I think we might get Craig one other weekend for Summer House. So I love it when it happens. I thought his response to Kyle trying to make the whole Jesse finding Paige attractive thing, I mean, that was like really awkward. I understand why Amanda got upset, but Craig's response was perfect. He's like, she's gorgeous. Or he said like, she's hot. Why wouldn't you like try to hit on her? Like he wasn't threatened by it. He's not like, I don't know. I think because it wasn't done in a super inappropriate way, it was some like light flirting is what I would call it.
Yeah. And if there was a problem, Paige would have told him. Like, I would imagine Paige's recap is like, wow, you have such a hot chicken. You have such a hot girlfriend. Like, I'm so hit on. Like, you know.
Right, I don't. And I'm sure she said, like, I never felt uncomfortable or like, it wasn't like he was being like sexually explicit. You know, like, it wasn't like a big deal where Craig felt like maybe he needed to step in. I just felt like that was really weird that Kyle, like, kept it going. Like the first comment was okay. Then he said it again. I mean, I think Amanda like getting as pissed as she did might have been a little too much, but I would have been really annoyed if that was my husband kind of trying to like stir up drama at a nice dinner.
Yeah. And I think Paige kind of summed it up. It feels like this is just Kyle in general. Like, why are you doing this? Like, we're having a good time. Like, why are you stirring the pot when there's like nothing to stir the pot? The house has been getting along. Carl and Lindsay, Friday free, no fight.
Like, so I Carl feel like wasn't she's there.
Like, what are you doing? Like, why are you stirring the pot? Okay, so afterwards they get ready. It's Christmas in July. There's nothing more that I love on Bravo is people having intense conversations in costume or with
props
ridiculous,
with
ridiculous accessories. And in this instance, we have Lindsay and Kyle having a conversation in Christmas hats about Carl and Lindsay's relationship.
At first I thought I was like, oh, Kyle, like I was kind of like, I don't like if he's going to come from the point of like, you can't say these things to Carl, or because like we know how Lindsay gets. And I think he was coming more from a place of like, I mean, obviously his alliance is going to be more to Carl, but he was coming from a place of like, what I'm seeing, like neither one of you are happy, nor is this healthy. And as she started describing why she was kind of hitting below the belt back at Carl, I'm like, you guys are toxic. Like, thank God you didn't get married, but why did it go on as long as it did?
I feel like they sold themselves on the idea, or I don't know. I honestly don't know. I think it's also so scary to go back when you're that far along. You're a public couple. You're become somewhat of a brand, to quote Jax and Brittany. I don't know. I think you're just kind of riding on it, but I'm with you. You guys know we've been posting like funny memes of as Lindsay apologists, and there's been not a lot to defend on the Lindsay side here, but it's crazy to watch it unfold, to be honest.
I will say a follower sent us a message and I agree with it, that they were like, okay, hear me out. Lindsay has been Lindsay since day one. Does she get mad quickly? Does she escalate something that doesn't need to be escalated? Is she extra loud and just extra in general? 100% yes. That's part of the reason why I think us Lindsay apologists like her, though, because she is truly being herself. She is loud. She's extra. She's activated. That is Lindsay. Carl, I mean, obviously, Carl, before he got sober, was a very different Carl. And that's going to happen. That's like an evolution. And he's changing and has changed. Lindsay really never has. And so it is kind of like you knew what you were dating. And maybe she was sober for a little bit. But I think you probably knew like this never was going to be a 100% full-time Lindsay sober. Like, it's not saying like, oh, this is Carl's fault. He knew what he was getting into. But I mean, he knows who Lindsay is. And so some of this, it's like, and it's kind of maybe making some of it make sense, but it's also like for the people who are like, oh my God, she's a monster. Like, how did Carl put up with her for so long? Like, she's being herself. Like, that is who she is.
And they've been best friends. Like, yeah. He's known who Lindsay is, from the finger bang to the friendship to the tres amigos. Like, she knows.
How many sandwiches have you made for me? Like, he was there for all of that.
He was there for all of it. One thing I theorize, and again, this very sounds on brand for a Lindsay apologist, is that because she's so, like, doesn't have a filter or doesn't know how to turn herself off, even though she is in, quote, PR, now an influencer. But I feel like she doesn't self-edit as perhaps as Carl does. And obviously having that sobriety and that clarity allows you to kind of think before you speak, whereas she just word vomits. Yeah. So I also don't think that does her any favors. Again, me saying this, I'm not condoning any of her behavior. It just, to me, kind of checks on why Carl looks so good in this. I wouldn't be shocked. Like, I kind of believe her that he's probably different off camera, or they've had different conversations and things that we're not seeing. He's just a bit more self-aware and is not acting a fool. I mean, they're fine.
I think sobriety helps too, right? Like, you're very more self-aware. Like, your filter and guard definitely comes down more with alcohol. I really agree with Amanda and Paige's assessment of it. Is like, you know, they said it to Lindsay and they were talking about it with Craig. Of like, she's the loud one. So everyone's always like, oh, she's so angry. Poor Carl. He's always being yelled at. But like, hearing that he never initiates sex, that there's like certain like, it just felt like Lindsay seemed like she was more free and was like more comfortable in her own skin when he wasn't there on Friday. And so it's like, these are all just, she called mini flags. To me, those are big flags. But I mean, it's all kind of making sense why they didn't end up, you know, walking down the aisle. But for those who are like, oh, now like everyone who's on Lindsay's side, are you like regretting it or look at like how terrible she is? I'm like, well, I'm not saying the things that she said to Carl are not wrong and are not terrible. But I also am like, it's not like it's 100% on her.
Yeah. Well, also, we only saw one side when we were, and also, again, you guys know we're apologists. So yeah. We saw one thing. We didn't see the full show. So it's going to be interesting how it continues. And I'm really curious on how she's going to salvage this on the reunion, because I think if she doubles down on anything she said, like, goodbye. Like, she has no problem being the villain, but I don't know that she could handle the entire cast going against her, because I don't even think Gabby would.
No, like, I think side with if her. I were Lindsay, and if she's listening to this, my advice to you to kind of like come out on top on the reunion is to lean into some of the things that Paige and Amanda told you and to say, like, look, I was feeling like I wasn't enough in this relationship. I wasn't getting the physical, you know, validation and attention I needed. Then on top of that, being told like how many drinks you had. And like, she's like, maybe I was leaning a little bit too much into alcohol because of everything going on, but it just felt like I could never do anything right. And so I hit a breaking point. And it's like, if you're going to nitpick and critique every little thing I do, I'm going to ask you if you're high. I'm going to ask you if you're on something. Is it wrong? Yes. But like, that's where I'm coming from. I just think if she approaches it like that, people might have a little bit more sympathy for her, knowing Lindsay and the fact that she couldn't even like truly say, I'm sorry, Carl.
In her apology.
Yeah. It's like, I don't know if we're going to get that, but that would be my advice to her. I did love though, Sierra and Craig's conversation was really cute. And I think my favorite part of it was when she was talking about how like the whole Austin thing was like blew up and was like such a joke and so terrible. He's like, I could have told you that, but we weren't at a place in our friendship where I felt like I could have. And it's like, you know what? Like, I don't think Craig's out there like, yeah, Austin's his friend, but he's like, I'm not going to go out there and be like, everybody date him. He's a great boy. Like, he's like very well aware of who Austin is.
I also thought it was cute, and you had this in your notes, that he says it's funny that you like goobers. And their friendship is just very, very cute to me. Like, they're the CCs. Like, he's like, I love you. They seem to have just a genuine like brother-sister relationship. I feel like when we see Paige and Craig, sometimes Sierra is like their third wheel in there. So I just thought it was really sweet. And truthfully, I thought her confessional was very real from her, in the sense of everyone, even though so much time has passed, people still tie her and Austin together. And they weren't even like boyfriend or girlfriend, but from the Bravo sphere and to people, you know, two figures that are in the public eye, like, that's what they always go back to. And I can see her hesitancy with Wes of not wanting to go back down that path again, but they are so cute. Like, the flirting and the babe and just all of it just feels so natural. Like, and you guys know we love Wes, and I'm not even just saying this because I do like him, but it radiates through the screen.
I thought it was really cute. Like, even things like, you know, you're in the early phases of dating where, like, you know, they've been drinking, obviously, and he's peeing off on the side. And she's like, it's just different when you see it hit the brick wall. Like, that kind of, like, it's just, like, kind of funny, cute, like, getting to know you. Even, like, I don't know, just, like, the cuddling and, like, the fact that they were, like, shacking together. But I do believe, like, you know, like, they were saying, like, they haven't, like, slept together and it's just been, like, makeouts. I do think they're moving slow and it's, like, really cute and, like, innocent. It's, like, a high school relationship.
Yeah. It's like just very, it's just very cute to watch. And you guys already heard, we've talked about it. It seems like every week, everyone's like, what's going on? We don't know. Yeah. We're all like you. We're hoping for the best. And you guys have heard our spiel on that. What I do love, and I think we've been raving on Sierra and this being honestly one of her best seasons, if not her best season so far, is just seeing this light, funny side of her. And there's nothing I love more. This woman is hot as hell.
Smoking hot.
Smoking hot. And she's like, you know what? I'm not going to wear. I mean, she eventually does wear like a slutty race car type outfit. Yeah. But she's like, I'm going to be like the used car salesman. I don't even know what you call that. The wavy
inflatable arm guy wavy arm. But it was hilarious. I agree with you. It's like, she's like, I know I'm hot. I don't need to wear like something skimpy from the start. And I'll be this like funny costume. I love it. I always like tell the story of like the year I was a crayon for Halloween. I got hit on more times than I ever did in a sexy costume.
A ladybug.
Yeah. And like fully dressed ladybug. Like you had leggings to your ankle. I think that's maybe like, I think the funniest part. Like we always talk about how we wanted to be sluts. And then when we had the opportunity to, we picked the most conservative costumes.
I was a pussycat doll one year. So that was like skanky for me. But even then it wasn't like,
I mean, I went as like a shacker once. And I think I wore
like shorts or something
like booty shorts under like a long white, you know, button down. But like,
I feel like you and I, like our college slut was not even like full blown slut. Like we were still somewhat like modest, you know, like I did a risky business party, but I had like the shirt was long enough to cover my butt and like,
yeah,
but yeah, anyhow, but I just appreciate seeing this from her. I just think it's really funny and all the content and things that the cast has been sharing since it's aired has made me laugh. But all in all, another great episode of Summer House and we'll keep it going.
We have this like unnecessary to be continued. You guys know I'm not a huge to be continued fan. But there have been times where I've given Bravo credit, like, okay, that was a good to be continued. Hanging on, like, Jesse being like, are you sure you should be getting married? And then, like, Paige saying the same thing to Lindsay. It's just, like, I don't know. I feel like it was very unnecessary.
It was unnecessary.
I think sometimes they just don't want to show us the previews for next week. So they just say to be continued. And
also,
like,
shout out to Jesse for real talk. I've already said this to him already, but he does it in a way that doesn't come across as where someone would get defensive in his.
It's non-judgmental. It's just kind of like, hey, here's an observation. No judgment, observation. And it's like, yeah, it works.
His delivery is like actually really good. And so shout out to him for just kind of being real. Because Craig, you know, I feel like Craig is like, I don't want to get in the middle of this. I don't want to meddle. But everyone's thinking it. And he just had the balls to say it. So let's move on. So we're going to start covering The Valley. We both thoroughly enjoyed it so much that we decided to cover it. So let's discuss The Valley. Let's get into Jax's concern about Kristen becoming a mom and procreating and all of that.
I mean, I like all the comments and like even like the cast members, like their comments on like Jax thinking he has insight into like pregnancy and like parenthood. I mean, Cruz is like, I think while they're filming this 2.5, you know, I mean, like, I get it. Like he has a kid. He has some insight. You don't know what it's like to try to conceive. You haven't birthed the baby. You haven't been through the postpartum phase. You never will. From what it seems like, Brittany is kind of a saint and does a lot of the shit with Cruz. Like, I don't know. I just think it's really rich when men try to tell women how big of a sacrifice it is to have kids when it's just like, it's never the same. Like, it's way more of it's going to fall on her. I'm sure she's aware of that. She's like, I'm 40. This is something I want to do. I want to pursue it. I don't know. Like, I just think, Jax, you're just not the person. You've made so many mistakes in your life. And like, it shouldn't be coming like from you. I get that it's just concern. I think he approached it a little bit better this time than he did at the party. But I, I don't know.
The only thing he has a leg to stand on is like, listen, being a parent, it's a big thing. Are you sure you want to have a child with this guy?
Yeah.
Like that argument to me is a bit different and honestly kind of fair given her history.
For sure. And I think it sounds like she's kind of got a little bit of like a track record of falling hard, falling fast. Let's have a baby. And then it explodes. So I could see him being kind of like, you've got this, you know, rinse, repeat. I just, you know, would hate for you to get into a situation where, you know, you end up, you know, a single parent. And not that that's the end of the world, but, no. You know, he just wants her to go into it being like aware of everything.
Yeah. It's someone you'd have a child with forever. Okay. So continuing to watch Jesse and Michelle, not shocked by their pending divorce as we continue to watch, because they definitely don't seem to like each other.
They don't get along. They don't see eye to eye on anything. Honestly, like, he just kind of sucks to me. Like, I don't think she is like going to win a personality contest anytime soon, but like, just like the whole like nipple twisting thing. I it's a double standard, sure, but I think it's universally accepted that like for the same reason, like women can't go topless, men can. You can, I think it doesn't mean you can just touch somebody. I get it. Like whatever. But like in that moment, like she gave him a little nipple twist. 100% you can't do that to a woman. And the fact that he was like, I don't remember it.
And Luke, like, what I love about Luke is he's so green to reality TV. And I feel like him not being from LA, like you can really read his emotions. And when Kristen and Luke were having that conversation and he immediately like went straight face, like, I'm going to beat his ass. And I don't know. I just enjoy seeing his facial expressions because he does seem green and like very just kind of caught off guard.
Even the way he was like approaching the conversation with Jesse was kind of funny to me.
Nia is a badass, and this woman, I feel like on paper or just based on appearances, I think it's probably easy to rule her out. You're like, oh god, another beauty
pageant.
We already had Raquel, like why do we need another one? But hell no, like with her taekwondo and self-defense and the story she shared when some man tried to grab her arm and she quickly like turned it around. I just really enjoy the layers to her. And also just, I think you and I as moms and who've been there with pumping and traveling and just hearing her having those discussions with her husband is just very relatable.
I also want to give her husband a shout out, because when she was like, I know it's not quite enough, you know, for two feeding, because she has twins. And he was like, you're doing amazing. You're doing great. Come here, give me a kiss. Like, I think that was just like, it was really neat to see him like supporting her instead of being like, because she's like, I think we're gonna have to get formula, and he wasn't like, oh no, like, you know, he was just like, it was not an issue. It was just really, I think they have a very good relationship. I am getting a little sick of him saying three under two. It's like, we get it, dude, like you had a lot of kids in a close span, you're not the only one who's ever done that. Like, I mean, yeah. I don't have three under two. I have three under five.
But
I
still,
mean, but like, still, it's like, okay. Like, I don't know. I'm just kind of like, we get it. But I think they have a pretty good relationship, especially when you look at the rest of the cast.
Oh my God. Yeah. They're like,
I think there's only like two couples that are going to long-term possibly make it out of this show.
Oh, absolutely. So Jax being Jax, and reason why he's doing this strictly for television. So they're at a guy's night, and his idea is like, you know, I'm going to invite Alex, Kristen's ex, who, mind you, they broke up 7 times and he kicked her out, like did not end things on a good note, but he's like, you know, I think Luke and Alex need to just meet and hash it out.
No. In what universe are like the exes of the same person trying to have a friendship?
I was waiting for like the Office kind of type camera moment where he looks at the camera and blinks and just like, we're all know what you're doing. Like, you're self-producing right now and giving us the content. So, I mean, on one hand, I'm like, thank you. But on the other hand, like, you are batshit crazy for thinking this is a great idea. And of course, it does not fly. Well, Luke.
I mean, and I could see Luke being like then I love when Jack's like, I messed up, didn't I? It's like, you know what you're doing.
You knew exactly what you're doing.
Yeah, this is not like a big surprise. I mean, I think that's so awkward. I also thought it was kind of weird how Brittany was like, why does it matter? You're not there. It's like, come on, Brittany. Like, do you want Faith coming to girls' night? Like, you know,
it's weird. So yes, good. Now, great transition to the girls' night. Which plus Zach, girls' night plus Zach. I was dying at just everyone's different attire because everyone was going to a different event. Brittany was going to the club. You have Nia, who looks like she
Cute, just sungras, like
with brunch or like the beach or just.
Also, like, it seemed like this was a girl's night for, like, Nia to get out after having twins. And I'm like, okay, if I just had twins, there are moments when you hit, like, when the fog lifts after, like, the first couple weeks. Well, you're still kind of in a fog, but that heavy fog lifts where you're like, I do want to shower and, like, maybe put on some makeup and, like, actually blow dry my hair instead of just, like, letting it air dry in a ponytail. I am not wanting to put on a sundress. Like, I would want to be in, like, sweats.
Exactly. I was actually, why aren't you guys all in pajamas or, like, a cute pajama party? But, yeah, you have Michelle and, like, a cutout, like, beachy dress. It just, like, made me laugh. And then Zach's, like, in jeans. And everyone just looked like they were going to a different event. Kristen's running errands. Like, that just, like, made me laugh.
Kristen actually was the only one who I think maybe understood the assignment of, like, a girl's night attire. Okay, I'm going to say something really shady. When Brittany was talking about how bougie Michelle is and how nice their house is, and like it's like the bougiest, nicest house next to Lisa Vanderpump, I was expecting a lot more from this home. Like, I was thinking more of like to me, Lisa Vanderpump has an estate. Like, you know, like,
yeah.
I was just expecting a little more.
I agree. I mean, we didn't see the full home. I'm guessing she probably means like,
just has
in LA terms of like real estate, like in terms of their location, and they're in West Hollywood, and like,
yeah, they're not probably in the valley. Yeah. But it's just like, I kind of was expecting more.
No, I'm with you. But I mean, Brittany,
you know, but this this is Brittany. This is the valley, not Real Housewives of Beverly
this
Hills.
Okay. So, Brittany, a couple of things. Side note, we got a lot of DMs from you guys about her appearance. We try to be respectful of it. Yes, it was very noticeable as a result. So in case you didn't know, she obviously had that chin lipo.
Yeah, like the, yeah.
Yeah, so she had the chin lipo, and she had lost some feeling in a nerve. I miss saying this, but lost some feelings in her nerve. So then when she spoke, she looked like she was constantly frowning because of that, because eventually she got the feeling back, and it's all back to normal now. So just so you're aware, because a lot of you have DM'd about that, I just want you to know she has addressed it. I try to be a little respectful. I think Brittany didn't need to do all the work she's done to herself. No. I think she's beautiful. And I think a lot of us probably feel that same way. But I will say, I do feel like she was in the wrong in this fight about Guy's Night. I actually am surprised that she took such a strong stance and being like, Jax is, like, basically that Jax knows Alex and that Luke wouldn't be invited.
It's totally fine. Yeah. Yeah. Like, maybe Luke shouldn't have been invited. Then it's like, I think the way where she was coming from, it was weird. I get trying to like defend and support your husband, but like, I think that in the situation, I would have been like, this is Jax being Jax. And, you know, the more you tell him not to do something, the more he's going to want to do it. So I just didn't say much when he said he was going to invite Alex, and I would have left it at that. It was weird. And I'm really curious, because we've seen a few previews. What is said that she then says Zach said, and he gets so pissed and is like, I did not say that. That is not true. And then we're at like a different dinner, and Janet is like, I'm sick of crazy Kristen. So it's like, whatever Kristen, the story she's trying to tell isn't landing with the group. And I'm really curious what it could be that's so heavy.
But to be continued, like literally we're like 5 minutes later, and it's like, Zach walking off.
I did not say that. Yeah.
And Jasmine and like everybody. And like, I'm just, you know, I'm here for Zach. If you guys remember when Brittany was on VPR, he was on there, and he does seem like a bit, like he was a bit thirsty to want to be on the show.
Oh, he is. But that's what you need on every show.
Yes. Like, yeah. I'm here for the thirst. I think he's given it, even with that mop of hair. I'm here for whatever.
He needs the Teresa Giudice hairline lift, but he'll get that in like season 3.
He will get that. So we're enjoying the valley much more than VPR. But before we discuss VPR, let's take a quick ad break. This message is sponsored by Greenlight. When you're a parent, you'll have your fair share of big talks with your kids. One of those big talks should involve money, and Greenlight can help with that. Greenlight is a debit card and money app made for families. You can send your kids instant money transfers, get real-time notifications of spending, manage chores, and automate allowance. Set up reoccurring or one-time chores customized to your family's needs and connect with them with allowance to reward kids for a job well done. As a kid, I would have loved something like Greenlight. That would have made it so much easier for every time I put the dishes away to receive that allowance and to keep track of it and see how much I've earned by staying on top of my chores would have made the world's difference. Meanwhile, your kids build financial literacy and independence by learning to earn, save, and spend wisely. The Greenlight app also comes with an in-app financial literacy game, Level Up, that helps kids build confidence through videos, bite-sized challenges, mini games, and more. More than 6 million parents and kids use Greenlight to learn how to make responsible financial choices. So stop putting off the money talk and start putting your kids on the right path. Sign up for Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/realmoms. That's greenlight.com/realmoms to try Greenlight for free. greenlight.com/realmoms. Imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at unbeatable prices. Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach. Like 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50, organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops, and timeless 14-karat gold jewelry. The best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that. So you guys have heard us talk about and rave about the Mongolian cashmere sweater. Recently, I just got a midi tie wrap dress that's made of a tinsel material, and I am obsessed. It's very flattering on the waist. It looks way more expensive than the $50 that I spent on it, and it's going to be a perfect transition into spring and summer. So something worth looking into. It also comes in a lots of different colors. So I love it so much. I can't wait for the compliments that I'm going to get when I wear it. So indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/realmoms for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/realmoms to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/realmoms.
I think one of the first things we all think of when we hear the name Jennifer Aniston is iconic hair. And she is sharing what makes her hair so amazing with all of us. And I have to tell you guys, the Lola V products that I've been using are amazing. I've shared a few of them, from the leave-in conditioner to the hair oil. It truly everything. Even their wet brush that they have is great. I'm loving all the products. The best part about the detangler, the detangler is great too. But the best part about the perfecting leave-in conditioner is if you have more oil-prone skin and hair, you know the battle of your scalp can get oily and your ends are dry and stringy and don't look good. And it's so hard to find that balance. And I have really found that the perfecting leave-in conditioner is the key. So when my hair is a little damp, I put it on like mid-shaft down, really focus on the ends. I only need like one or two pumps. So I'm telling you guys, when you buy a bottle of this stuff, it's going to last you for quite some time. And I just kind of work it into the ends. Then I comb my hair, blow dry it. I feel like my hair is still looking a little bit dry or the ends, you know, aren't quite doing what I want. I put one little drop of the oil, rub it in my hands, and then kind of work the ends as well. It is like the key to making a blowout last and look good all day long. And your scalp isn't going to get oily. So you're going to look, it's just going to perfect that look for you all day long. And we have a treat for you guys as our awesome listeners. For a limited time, you can get an exclusive 15% off your order using code REALMOMS. So unlock Jennifer Aniston approved hair at LolaV.com and get 15% off your entire order when you use code REALMOMS at checkout. That's 15% off your order at LolaV.com with promo code REALMOMS. Please note you can only use the promo code once per order and discounts can't be combined. After you purchase, they'll ask you how you've heard about them. Please show support for our show and tell them that we sent you.
Great. Let's talk about VPR. And James would pick Allie's wardrobe. That was like an unexpected surprise, but he would kind of pick her outfits out. But she also seems okay with it.
I feel like she's like okay with it, so then I'm okay with it. It's wild to me how like Allie is becoming like such a favorite of mine and so many fans. Like she's just, I don't know. There's something about the way she assesses things, but the way she sort of gives everyone a chance and doesn't like go after like anything in like a mean way. Like when she was telling them, yeah, like I met with Joe, why wouldn't I? She wanted a reading. She's not done anything personally to me. Like, and the girls were like, oh, okay. Like, I just feel like there's something about Allie that's just, there's something about her.
Yes, there is. I think she just, it's very, I think we can always, we're like have a bullshit meter on people who seem inauthentic to themselves. And she just seems very hurt. So yeah. It would be her that like was a guitar, wanted to be a Taylor Swift guitar, like pop star, and then turn into astrology. And her boyfriend picks out her clothes sometimes. So of course she would. Schwartzy, as someone who has been a Schwartz apologist, I do feel like Lala could have checked him when he said when they met up for their little coffee or date that a 3-day sober bender is not a term that should be used.
I know. I was like, that's a little insensitive. Do you know what a bender means? Like, I don't know. It was just, yeah.
It's like there's people who don't drink like Monday through, you know, Friday or Thursday. Like,
yeah.
I don't know if that I would be saying that, but I digress.
Especially to Lala. I don't know who's like been sober for 3+ years. But
yes.
That is Schwartz, though. I think maybe she's just so used to it. How about the whole makeout thing? Okay, so Sheena kind of like tells a different version of the story. Whose story do you think is correct and accurate?
I believe Schwartz.
Same. Why would he make it up?
Why would he make it up? Also, I do have to say, it is kind of stupid that this is coming up like 10+ years later. Like, I felt like Brock, as we're going to find out, messy Brock, gave this episode, I will say, to me, kind of delivered in terms of an unexpected plot twist. But I don't get the need to bring it up. I just think it's kind of weird. Who cares? Like, it happened. This group is so weird and incestuous. And Schwartz basically admitted at some point, too, that one, we know he's cheated on Katie multiple times.
Yes.
And he would say when they would get in a fight, he would just want to make out with someone. And he happened to make out with Sheena. So,
yeah.
And Sheena and Katie weren't friends at the time. So it tracks.
Yeah. He's not been shy about the fact that he's like a makeout slut. And I think knowing how long they were together and married, like I just kind of put 2 and 2 together and was like, oh, he made out with other people while married to Katie. I do think like, you know, I see Katie's point of like, not that Sheena would tell her in that moment, but like, maybe it should have been said to Katie at some point as her and Sheena got closer. Like, I could see it even being like, after everything happened with Ariana, and be like, hey, in the spirit of full transparency, Schwartz and I did one time make out in Vegas. You and I were not at a place where we even spoke to one another, really, you know, like you were full blown, like in your tequila Katie phase. It was not okay. I shouldn't have done it. Like, you guys were like, kind of on off, but I just want to let you know as we move forward in a friendship. Like, I mean, I just feel like Katie appreciates like straightforwardness. I mean, look at how like her and Lala communicate. So
yes, I don't know. It's just weird. But I also feel like, why doesn't, I don't know. It's so long ago. They've lived many lives that I just don't get it. Let's talk about Joe. Oh my Lord, Joe.
Okay. I want to give some credit to James, though. That comment, I do agree. Like, why were we having the sandwich tasting? And I love production. You know, they like told Lala, they're like, hey, okay, we're going to let you be the one. Like, just say this line. Trust us. It's going to land. It's going to look good for you. Where she's like, we've already seen this before. You can fast forward for this. And she's like, oh, no, wait, this part's actually funny. And he talks about Tom saying, like, could I, you know, what about something for like a hangover? And they're like, he wants a man, which, you know, he loves a sloppy Joe. I thought that was really funny.
I mean, James.
So good.
Bravo.
Bravo.
I mean, bravo, James. No one is as quick-witted as James in the male sphere of Bravo.
Like, there's no head-to-head.
I would almost want him.
Second. Yeah.
I want him to fight with Candace just to see them go back and forth the with reads. What they would say.
Yeah. I was like, oh, God. I feel like that could get like. But I know what you mean.
Remember, what was Wild and Out with that show?
Yeah,
would have like battles in a way.
Yeah,
I want like just a, like, and it's not rapping, but I would love to kind of, that would be
random
funny.
Note, have you seen, it's like James Corwin and David Schwimmer's rap battle, what David Schwimmer like did for him? Oh my God. No. It's like epic.
I'll have to watch it, but anyhow,
yeah,
I just think,
but something like so that funny. I see what you're like, it's like playful and good, like it's a more like a roast.
Yes,
but yeah,
in good humor, but it would be funny. But yes, why are we doing this sandwich tasting again?
All the same sandwiches.
Yeah, maybe different bread. Listen, we've been trying to give these ladies a pass and are on a schedule and all this nonsense, but I'm losing hope and there's something about her.
I mean, for all this shit they gave Tom Tom or Schwartz and Sandy's, I mean, like, I'm kind of like, oh, I don't know, guys, if you have much to stand on now. But okay, let's talk Joe at the DJ event for James. I get feeling very uncomfortable and awkward in a situation, and I think that's part of how she was reacting. Sheena maybe came out a little strong when she was like, don't wear a hat, like, show off your braids. And like, they think like Sheena was trying to be nice, like, you're a hairstylist, like, but it almost came across as like, well, if you're not that good, then you would wear. I don't know. It was kind of, I did feel like bad for her in a moment, but she did no favors for herself. Like, I just felt like she was such like a little, like, she was like squirrely with everybody.
Spooky.
It was just like, okay, maybe you shouldn't have come to this if you weren't ready to see everyone.
I just am like, honey, I don't know that TV, like, get out, like, just stop filming. We don't need your confessionals. I have secondhand embarrassment. I just feel very uncomfortable. Because you're so uncomfortable. And I do kind of feel bad for her in the sense it would not feel good to, you already know you're not liked. She clearly doesn't have the thick skin to be on reality TV where people are talking shit on you and she goes home. So I don't know. Joe.
Well, and she's like, you know, the reunion comment where Katie's like, she's a crackhead or whatever. And then she's like, my mom like asked me if I was doing drugs. I was almost kind of like, okay, I think like, I don't know. I would think that like anybody would know that that's probably just Katie trying to like make you look bad. But knowing all that, then like, why be part of the season? Or why? Like, obviously there's a reason why you want to be part of this show or you're showing up for the filming. Like, agree. Either you're going to have to get a thick skin and like soldier through or just a graceful
exit. I think
exit.
She needs money because clearly she's not a good hairdresser. I mean, we see Schwartz's bleached blonde hair. That is horrible. Like, I think she needs the cash. So. I mean, she's throwing dignity out the window. I don't know.
I don't know. That might be it. I don't know. But I like, obviously, too, like, I agree with you. Like, you're going to have to figure it out or just get off the show. Because, like, Schwartz isn't interested in you in a romantic way. And it's very obvious. I actually believe Schwartz when he said, like, Joe was living with me, but we weren't, like, dating. I think there might have been some drunk makeouts just knowing Schwartz.
I also don't think he's a dude. Like,
yeah,
guys.
He's just like, oh. She wants
if
to live.
If someone is making a move and he, yeah, I could see that happening and him not having any sort of emotional tie to it where it's strictly just that. Whereas Joe, that's a whole nother story. But let's talk about this unexpected tea that we got from Brock.
Yeah. Well, first of all, Brock bringing it up, you could tell Sheena was really upset about it, but also like Sheena, like, you probably talked about it the entire night. So Brock was probably sick of it. Like, you were stalking their locations. But Max Boyan, we've seen him on the show before. He was actually at Guy's Night on the Valley. Did you notice that?
Oh, no, I didn't pick up on
that. He was there towards the end. There was just like a quick little thing where he said something. But Katie, you know, might have, you know, slept with him. They hooked up. He like stayed at her house, it looks like. And I feel like Katie was kind of like, well, you know, Schwartz has already done this, has already like infiltrated the friend group. The rule has been broken. Why do I now have to follow it when he's shown no like regard for it? I don't think she was in the wrong, actually.
No.
But I thought, but yeah, Brock was bringing it up too.
He was being messy. He was being so messy.
He failed though.
He was very much like, listen, Katie, you're here making out with his best friend. So why do you care about everything else, like Sheena and him, and like this was so long ago when you were just like hooking up? And it's like, dude, like Schwartz has discarded Katie and hasn't treated her well at all. But even her just saying like she kind of did it as revenge, kind of, I don't know, it was kind of wild. It was an unexpected twist. I was here for it because I did not see that coming, and I was entertained. Also, a lot of you guys have DM'd us about this as well. We do not watch Below Deck, not because we don't like it. We just, with all the shows, we try to keep up with, we don't keep up. But yes, you guys are right. You are seeing the new deckhand who was sitting next to Katie.
We don't know why.
We don't know the connection. But yes, that is the new deckhand. How many locations do you have on your phone?
I counted because I had a feeling we were going to discuss this. I follow 14, including you.
Oh, 14. That is less than me. I'm counting right now. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
So that'd be more than you. You said that's less.
You have more, yes.
Thank you. I was like, wait, yeah. Vanessa and phrases. But
never a dull moment. I wish we had a budget for a producer because they could put a montage of.
But like, so I have like a larger family, and then I was like a more of like a later in life kid. So my nephews are in their early 20s. And so it's like, well, that's nephews and nieces. So like that's four right there. Then both my sisters, then my husband. So that puts me at like seven. And then the other seven are friends. So to me, it's like funny. I was talking with other people about this, like that watch the show. And they're like, I don't even follow my husband's location. I don't think he's up to anything. It's more like, hey, has he left work yet? If not, I'm going to tell him to stop by the store. Or, oh, I see he's at Target. I'm going to tell him we actually are running low on Tylenol. Like, I don't know. It's more of like a convenience thing. So I don't always have to text and be like, have you left yet? How close are you home? Like,
same. That's how I view it as well. And then also with friends, it's like, oh, someone meeting on, well, yeah. But also, like, if you're having a dinner, like, if you and I were going to dinner and I'm you can see, she is on her way. Or if you're on a girls' weekend, safety. Anyhow, we're on board, I don't know, about 56, but that's a bit excessive.
That's a lot.
That's a lot. And I do want to know how she got Max's location. Like, how did that come
right? They're not, like, was that just like a one-time thing and he forgot?
It must have been from a while ago, but like, girl, how did you get that?
Somebody brought up a really good point. If you are following that many people, and at the time of Scandoval, you were good friends with both Tom and Raquel, you would have, in the way you track people, you would have seen some questionable things.
So this apparently came up, and Rachel noticed that she was seen and turned it off.
They were having the affair or recently?
Yeah, while they were having the affair. Like, she turned it off. So that's why Sheena, as closely as she was looking at it, never.
Because I was like, girl, you.
No.
Yeah.
That's come up. I've seen that on the interwebs that was discussed. But that is VPR. I will say that was a solid episode. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I also enjoy Ariana's commitment to hating Tom Sandoval and the whole
exchange. Stay away from 41-year-old narcissists. And I couldn't tell if the girl was just like, okay, like, you know, I'm gonna respect my elders type of thing, or if she was like, oh shit, I better run.
She felt so uncomfortable. And then Tom being like, I'm gonna talk to Ariana. I can't talk to her in my own house, but I'm gonna come talk to her.
Yeah, dude. I also am having a problem with everybody being quick to like hang out with Tom.
Actually, yes, before we go on. Lala and particularly, I kind of have a bit of an issue with that. It's just,
oh my God, I can't believe we didn't discuss this. We almost skipped it.
No, I know.
That's fucked up breathing exercise. Oh, first of all, why did the guy have on headphones and a podcast mic? Was he like going live and then Sandoval happened to get some one-on-one time with him? I have so many questions. And like, it was just the most bizarre thing I've ever seen. When I think breath work, I was thinking more meditation, like long breaths in. Long breaths out, visualize yourself floating or whatever. Like, I wasn't thinking like rapid breaths and then scream. And like, I was like, what the hell are we watching?
It was weird as fuck. It was very strange. But what was even weirder to me is Lala. Listen, I know we're on a TV show and, you know, Queens of Bravo will say it's for Lisa. Like, I get all that and filmy. However, I just would, if you, like, I'm just thinking of, like, and we're closer than Lala and Ariana are, but regardless, if Kevin was Sandoval and you and I still have, like, a friendship, and but I'm like, you know what? I'm going to go talk to him and really
give,
like,
him a chance.
Give him a chance. Yeah. And that felt so weird to me. I honestly read well to me in terms of, like, loyalty and girlhood. It's one thing to hear someone out in a group setting in the moment. But like, to go out of your way and to go to that friend's house, like, you're not even telling Ariana you're going. I don't know. That doesn't sit well with me.
And then to tell Ariana about it, like, we had the most open, best conversation we've ever had. I like how Ariana in her confessional is like, cool, Lala. Like, it was just sort of like, you guys know how she feels about him. Like, she won't even like speak to him unless it's with like through her lawyer. So like, she doesn't want to know that you're trying to rebuild this friendship. Like, exactly. Well, I mean, she does, because she's probably not going to trust you as much, And I do think people are like, well, that's not fair for her to say, like, you can't be friends with these people and be my friend. I mean, there's a part of me that's sort of like, she can do whatever the fuck she wants. It's her life. If she's like, this guy was so terrible to me, and if you're okay being friends with him, then you're not someone that I want to be friends with, because you then don't fully understand the hurt I went through, or you don't appreciate it. And she can say that.
I'm air clapping. So you guys aren't like hearing it. But yeah, yes, all of it. Like, I'm not here for this Ariana slander that people have. And
you're like, I'm sick of her. Like,
no, yeah, fuck off. No, she's entitled to feel the way she wants to feel. And again, timeline wise, it's like 4 or 5 months. And what a mind fuck that would be. Like, literally, you're screaming at this man. If I were Ariana, Lala, you were screaming at this man. You guys just had a fight in Lake Tahoe that I heard about. And now you guys are like, kumbaya. Like, I know we have a TV show to make here, but still, it's weird.
I also think it's just, this is Sheena and Lala. Like, oh, we got to, like, we're not as booked and busy as, you know, our girl Ariana is. And we got to stay on this show. And I will say, in the same vein, Sandoval is welcome to do whatever the fuck he wants as well. Like, he can go and try to rebuild all these friendships. Like, if that's what he wants to do, go do it. I just think it's okay for Ariana to say, if you're going to tolerate, like, not tolerate, like, it's one thing to tolerate him. I think Katie's like, I'm going to tolerate him. I'm not going to spend all this energy hating him, yelling at him. He's so insignificant to me that, like, he's just a little gnat when he's around. But if you're going to go as far to, like, have conversations with him and try to, like, repair whatever, like, was broken, then yeah.
It was weird.
It was weird.
Talking about weird, this is a good transition to even weirder. So the Potomac finale, we finally made it to the end. There's a lot to unpack there. So let's start with the fight. The fight itself was kind of wild to unwatch. I'm with Karen. We don't need to see women throwing glasses. I also feel like, especially for Black women, we don't need to like feed into like certain,
the angry, mad Black woman.
Yes, we don't need that energy, right? But I do kind of agree that Deborah kind of started it as antagonizing Candace a bit. Candace is gonna chirp. That's what she does. And then she just kind of went for it. I hate that it kind of ended that way, or that it got like that physical. And Kierna, like, I felt horrible for her.
Oh my God. Like, I mean, profusely. I mean, I know she was like higher up on her scalp, and like, that's a very, like, your head bleeds a lot. It's a very vascular area. But like, I mean, she had blood like running down her forehead. Like, a full blown drink was thrown at her. This wasn't like water or like booze was I mean, like, this is truly assault.
Okay, I hope at the reunion, if they're going to discuss it, that they show, like, people had cell phone footage of the fight.
Yeah.
And just to like clear, get factual in terms of who did what, because, you know, yeah, you have one side of saying Kieran, I was like, very the aggressor or whatever.
I'm not,
she's saying
that,
she's
though.
Not, no, me neither. And she's like, no, I yeah. just pushed her out of the way. So I don't know. I wish it didn't get physical. But I do feel like Deborah definitely poked the bear. And truthfully, in watching this, I kind of understand why Candace didn't come back. I think Candace is like, I'm tired of being part of these fights. Like, first you had me and Monique. Then we have the knife, the butter knife with me and Ashley. And now we have this. Like, I kind of think she's very over people coming for her.
And being in these situations.
In these physical the drink situations.
Was actually, so the drink was not supposed to be thrown. I don't think it was meant to be thrown at Kierna. It was meant to be thrown at Candace.
Yes.
And missed Candace. And that's how Kierna got hit.
Yes.
Which, so, like, yeah, I know. It is, like, the whole thing. It's like, no matter what, like, why are we throwing full-blown drinks? Come on.
No, I don't know. But so that was that fight. I also respect the group being like, listen, like, I know you have play dates with Deborah. And she may seem cool, but we don't need.
You can't bring her around.
No.
Yeah.
Ashley,
I think, understood it. Was like, listen, I knew there were some issues there. I didn't think it was going to turn like come to this. And I apologize and I won't have her around anymore. It was kind of weird that like what was supposed to be the finale party was so overshadowed by that. Had we not gotten the revelation of Gordon and Mia and everything about their marriage, I think it would have been a really, really bad finale. Like, yeah, it was just like, you know, because they played the credits and I was like, oh my God, this was just such a meh finale. And then we get, they have their sit down conversation.
Oh my God. So listen, guys, I think Mia is an incredible housewife. You could Listen, I think anyone who's willing to air out all of this stuff, whether true or not,
yeah,
but is at least willing to do it on camera.
Both of them. Yeah.
I tip my hat to them, because that takes some balls, in my opinion. And she's putting it out there, even the paternity of her son, which I honestly wish they didn't go there. But yeah, the fact that this affair has been over somewhat on and off for the last 10 years, but really picked up when Gordon had some procedure and he was very depressed and down in the dumps.
And, like, couldn't like sexually perform.
So they had this arrangement, but she like crossed the line with the arrangement. His rules were not to get the kids involved. He got pissed off because they knew about the kids. And
yeah,
I
do feel like, okay, like whatever works for your marriage, I'm not going to judge. I do kind of like agree though. Like if the arrangement, the rule was like, hey, our kids don't need to know that behind closed doors, you're sleeping with someone else and you get emotional, like more fulfillment from that man than you do from me. Like it made me sad that like her kids, when they grow up, are going to like hear about this, potentially see it if they want to. And then the whole paternity thing, like how would you feel if you're Jeremiah and like it's being discussed?
Oh, he's old enough to know.
Yeah. Like who your father is. Like, that's not, I don't know. I'm just like, and I'm not putting this on necessarily Bravo or anything. I'm just like, that to me, I was like, okay, I appreciate transparency, but like, I don't know. I'm like, I wish that part wasn't.
I kind of wish that was like edited out.
Yeah.
Just that he didn't need that. I do agree and wish that was edited out. I didn't want to see that there. But anyhow, I mean, wild. I think the reunion is going to be entertaining. I think the Potomac women always deliver. I also do want to recognize it was very unfortunate and sad that Giselle's father passed shortly after having that brain surgery. And I do like how Karen and Giselle can come together. So
that was really sweet.
And I just think they have like, that we say it all the time, the best frenemy relationship. So the reunion looks good and we will cover that. And that wraps up a jam packed week of episodes. Yeah. Let's get into shout outs.
Okay. Well, I kind of went back and forth and I think I potentially know what your shout out might be.
Oh yeah. I think, you know,
so yes. Okay. You and I have kind of talked about this and this, like, you know, my trigger warning for sure. I want to give my shout out to Black women who are moms or pregnant right now. We saw all the headlines about how unfortunate it was. I hate seeing a former Chiefs cheerleader too. Like, she was like created a patent. She worked for Oracle, which for those who might be like kind of confused because they're like, isn't Oracle just like more computer software. They acquired Cerner in Kansas City, which is a healthcare-based company. But she created a patent that helped with like assessing postpartum hemorrhaging to like help like women going through that. And it's just so sad that she then herself passes away. We don't know all the details about it. I'm sorry, I'm talking about Crystal Anderson. We don't know the details of it. Her husband came forward and basically implied that it had something to do with the Black maternal mortality rate in the U.S. is one of the worst in the world, not just among developed countries. For those of you who would like DM'd us who maybe weren't like, you know, aware of it, this is a big issue and within the medical community of like not listening or ignoring symptoms of Black women in particular after they have a baby or while they are pregnant, when they say like something's wrong, I think like this doesn't feel right. Again, we don't know all the details, but it seems like this might have been another case of that. And unfortunately, you know, she passed away. So I just want to give a shout out to all of, I think for a lot of people it's triggering, but we were getting DMs from a lot of like Black women who are also, you know, pregnant right now and like they're scared and nervous. And so I just want to give you guys a shout out and just like, think the number one thing Vanessa and I always say is like, advocate for yourself. If something is wrong and feels off, like speak up. I know it's hard because like in the situation it might've been where people weren't necessarily listening to that, but just keep fighting for yourself. And just know we are part of the charge to help kind of correct some of this. And there's a lot of great resources out there, including Black Mamas Matter and
March of Dimes. That's a lot of work.
Yeah.
A lot of work on this. And there also, I have not watched it, but there's a PBS special. I feel like some of you have directed this about Black maternal health. So if you're interested in just learning more, there's a tons of different resources. So yeah. My shout out, of course, it's always, Abby and I always do.
I know opposite. We always, yes, I know.
She gets like serious. Well, it's understandably serious, but I go like light and fluffy and whatever, is to Beyonce Knowles Carter for Cowboy Carter. Of course, the first thing I did this morning was listen to the album, all 27 songs, and it is a masterpiece. I cannot tell you the last time I got emotional. So for her, thank you for continuing to top yourself, to deliver, to reinvent yourself. And guys, like, please listen to it. Listen, especially the Miley collab, like, I have goosies just like thinking about it. So please, please, please listen to it. And also, you know, give us a 5-star rating, a written review if you're feeling it too. So we'll definitely take that. It always helps. We have some fun guests coming up, some fun things planning. And also in Kansas City, you guys know we have the Summer House Watch Party with West Wilson coming up. That is on April 11th. If you do plan on attending, I plan on getting there early. And let's keep it classy, Casey. He's going to feel a warm, warm welcome, but let's keep it classy. So with that, make it a great day, or don't. The choice is yours.